you're looking to change things up in your classroom. You'd like to see more student participation and interest, or you really need a better way to tap into each student's individual abilities. Maybe you're happy with everything in your classroom and you're just that teacher who will stop at nothing to provide the very best opportunities for your students so you're always open to hear more good news. Well, let me personally welcome you to the Student-Centered Science Teacher Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Carosis. I'm a secondary science teacher with 11 years experience teaching at-risk students in a distance learning cyber model. And yet, I've realized success in my efforts to plan for and execute student-centered learning. See, I believe that a science teacher's job goes beyond transferring specific content knowledge. Rather, I believe our duty is to prepare students for life beyond our walls, to help develop them into informed, active members of society who can confidently make all kinds of decisions. So on this podcast, our discussions will focus on strategies to promote active learning in the classroom and their outcomes, as well as creating and nurturing a culture that enables students to take ownership of their learning by planning next steps and implementing our feedback. Here, we believe that our classrooms are learning laboratories, not just for students, but also for teachers. You'll always get encouragement to keep on experimenting, because what you do and how you do it matters. Let's jump into today's topic. So let's talk today about creating change, assuming you are at the place where you don't quite know yet if you want to, or what's involved, or, you know, you're in the exploration stages. I have brought to you today a pretty visual lesson, but if you are listening and not watching, I'm gonna share it all with you really vividly. Got an analogy for you today, because I do love analogies. And the analogy is to the life cycle of a tree. So bear with me just one moment. We have got here a seedling. It's a little sprout, will pop up out of the soil. We've got a massive oak tree, and we've got toilet paper, composition paper, and cardboard box. Now, I get that that's not entirely the life cycle. We may not teach that to our students. It's not birth, life, and death. However, it's by design here, okay? We're calling this maturation at the front end, because there's two changes: maturation and transformation. And I'm going to suggest to you that as teachers, we can go through those exact same change processes. We can start out of school. We can mature to be teachers in a lively or not so lively school environment where we have learned from our elders or our peers. We kind of fell into the status quo. And then at the tail end, transformed into a teacher who spends very little time in the front of the room talking at our students, but instead guides and supports those students as they seek answers themselves. But we're going to break this down so that we can really get to the nitty-gritty here, because I probably you're riding my wave already, but I want to be really specific about how I see this. When we look at the seedling becoming a tree, we're talking about the fact that this maturation, it happens naturally. Would it happen better if we fed the tree and took care of it and all that? Yeah, maybe. You know, I have plants in my backyard. I know that you need to take care of them. And when they don't, you don't, they die. But in nature, in forests, they use the nutrients in the soil. They use the water from the rain. They use the sun from the sky. And they grow. It's a natural process. No one has to intervene. And it takes time. There is no tree, poof, grows in a day, or a week, or a month, or a year. Even our perennial plants, okay, so I'm going to lean on my gardening here a little bit. I have roses in the front yard. Love my roses. But I forget every time I buy a rose, it's such a baby that first year. And even the second year, it grows a little bit, but that third year, it's like, whew, it's like an adult. Those perennial plants, it takes a good 3 years for them to mature. And those are our small plants. We're talking a big, massive oak tree here. We're talking maybe decades, maybe a century. because it's simply not going to reach its max height and its max width and its max fullness any quicker. I already mentioned the nutrients. You know, the influencers to this maturation process are nutrients and environment. So the plant has, the tree, seedling, has to be in a place where the minerals are good and abundant, where it's got the right amount of rain and sunshine. But its environment also has to be right. I don't think an oak tree is going to, like, grow in the desert. And I don't think a cactus is going to grow in Pennsylvania, where I live. Not too well, not outside anyway. Because they need certain other requirements to really flourish. And then finally, this change product, this big tree from this teeny tiny seedling, it has a specific purpose. Of note, some purposes I could think of were shade. You know, what a lovely summer day to sit under a big oak tree and read a book or have a picnic. It serves as a home to wildlife, little squirrels and chipmunks and woodpeckers and things like that. It might even be food for worms and insects, critters. And notably, pollination and the propagation of more trees, right? It sprinkles its seed. It does the whole thing. A forest could live without us intervening forever. Natural birth and death cycle. So it spreads its love. It sows its oats. How are teachers the same? Well, in that maturation process, going from college graduate to confident science teacher, it's kind of happening naturally. And it's not happening in a year. And I'm not saying that any teacher can't come out of college and just be born for this and do a great job. Absolutely. Age and time is not a measure of success as a teacher in the classroom. However, knowing the gray area that we live in as teachers, with all the situations we deal with, takes time to encounter all those situations. And we can't possibly expect to know how we're going to respond to all of them or what it's going to take or how it's going to make us feel until we've endured many of them. So, you know, I'm thinking like 7 to 10 years, maybe 5 to 10 years maturation into a teacher who you walk into school and you're like, I got this. And you're kind of on fire doing your thing. You have your lessons, you have your notes, you know your story, and you're ready to tell it. Students love you. To do that, to become that, in the process of maturing in that way, other teachers and your environment are your influencers. So from the time you graduate college, I mean, in your college program, you're usually assigned a cooperative teacher who is, you know, your model. You're watching them teach, you're taking your notes, you're kind of incorporating some of their style into what you are just getting your footing to doing. I'm thinking like Bambi, you know, you're born and you can't quite stand yet. And then you switch roles and you're at the front and they're watching you and they're giving you pointers based on their experience. And that's just the start of your career. It of course continues once you're in a school environment and you're on a team or a department of teachers and you're talking about different situations and circumstances or maybe even content, you're planning lessons together or tests together, it's natural. But then your environment, your school environment, also going to influence how you mature. If you're coming up as a teacher in an urban school district where you walk through a metal detector every day, you're going to have a different perspective, a different philosophy potentially than the teacher who walks into the rural 300 student high school each day, because your areas of concern, your priorities are just a little different, quite different. And then me, right? My environment is cyber school, so that certainly influenced me as a science teacher. There's no tangibles. Observing, asking questions, doing experiments, say what? Right? I could have let that hold me back. I didn't. But what I'm saying here is that it's an influencer. It influenced why I constantly got sucked back into lecturing. The change product from college grad to confident, mature teacher has a specific purpose. And I am not by any means suggesting these are our only purposes or that these are the purposes we want to bring to the table. However, it can't be argued that in the short term, every year, test scores are our purpose. We exist to educate students, and there has to be a series of checks and balances there. We give students tests, we look at their scores, and that's usually on us. Have we done our job or not? I think every parent probably expects us to be imparting life skills for their children, things like responsibility, things like time management, things like social interaction. It's the purpose for school and the purpose for teachers, guiding and modeling those processes. And then if you teach in secondary school, for sure, you're concerned with graduating students because we do. That's what we do. Go to school, and their whole goal, usually all they can see, is graduation. And so it's a big purpose that we have. But I'm going to suggest that these are kind of shallow purposes, and I think you probably think the same or you wouldn't be listening right now. So let's talk about transformation. Let's talk about different purposes. When an oak tree transforms into toilet paper, composition paper, or a cardboard box, there's a different reason that it's becoming those things. Now, of course, it doesn't have a brain, can't do that, but the transformation here from tree to object is entirely purposeful. Someone made the decision to do that based on our needs. The time it takes might vary. Okay, I don't know a lot about creating paper from trees, admittedly. But I know that you're not going to take a baby tree and turn it into paper because there just surely isn't enough volume there. There isn't enough cellulose to collect to transform. You want that tree to be big and mature. I'm sure people who do this for a living have an age requirement or a height or a width requirement for a certain type of tree. So maybe it depends what type of tree you are. Maybe it depends the type of environment you're in. Maybe an oak tree grows at a different rate in a wet environment versus a drier environment. I don't know. I'm not an ecology person. Okay? This is an analogy. The desire for a different purpose is the influencer that prompts the change. Oak tree's perfectly happy hanging out in the forest where it was meant to be. But we need it. We've identified a material that it's made of, that we can repurpose. And so we figured out how to do it. And this change product has a very different specific purpose. Now, instead of providing us shade and a home for our critters and food and pollination, it's allowing us to communicate. It's allowing us to take care of ourselves, personal hygiene, and it's allowing us to store and ship things to one another. And the list goes on. Whole lot of different reasons for paper products, right? Whole lot of different paper products out there. Our transformation from mature, confident teacher to student-centered science teacher is similar on every account. The way I see it, transformation's got to be purposeful. You could work your entire career in a school and no one could ever ask you to change the way you're teaching. Lecturing from the front of the room, handing out worksheets, giving note-taking guides, that could be okay forever. You have to want it. You have to want something more. You have to have a different purpose for doing something differently. Maybe, you're not a strong lecturer, okay? We all have different skills, and maybe lecturing isn't something that you're good at, or a teacher's good at, and maybe administration does come down on you for it. It says, you gotta change your ways. So maybe in that situation, it might be required, but probably not for most of us. The time it takes would vary. I would suggest that I transformed my whole classroom in 1 year, but I was desperate for change. I was relentless in making sure that I was consistent. I believe so much in consistency, but I didn't want to do something one day and not the next. So I just was full on committed. But that's not style for everyone. And now a few years later, I look back and I realize I probably totally burnt myself out doing that. So baby steps are totally appropriate. Time it takes could vary. Also, just like the tree, it probably depends on how mature you are. You know, how much have you struggled to realize engagement and achievement in your students doing things the way you do them? For the first 3 to 5 years, you might just totally have blinders on. You just don't even see that it's not really doing anything. You don't even see. Sometimes it takes that long. The desire for a different purpose is going to be our influencer. What am I even doing? Am I feeling fulfilled from this role that I take on every day? What are my students leaving with after they're done with my class? Do they keep any of the skills, any of the ideas I imparted to them? If you're asking yourself those questions, those are desires for maybe a different purpose. Maybe you're trying to find a different purpose for your career, for your job, for your role. And this change product has a very different specific purpose. As a student-centered science teacher, you are always on the life skills. Always on the responsibility. Every single day in class, the time management. Not just overnight homework or once a week test or whatever the thing is. Every day. Social skills. And now, critical thinking. How to think, not what to think. And decision making. A legacy that will stay with your students forever and ever and ever. Hopefully. Or at least, probably some measure of time after they graduate. And they're going to need those skills. They're going to make decisions, really important ones. And me, I want them to be super informed about the decisions they make and learn that process. That's the scientific method or the engineering process, whatever you want to call it. I'm getting burned a few times by calling it scientific method. I never actually knew we changed that term. Observing, asking questions, testing, retesting, analyzing data, communicating our results. That's what I'm talking about. We do it every day unknowingly. We wouldn't put it in the science bucket, but that's what we do. And that's what we need to teach our students that they need to learn how to do. And that's not student-centered learning. That's how I see student-centered learning in science and the whole purpose for learning science, honestly. My message today in creating change is that this transformational change requires a clear determination of purpose. Whether it's the purpose you have now or a brand new purpose, starting out, you need to be strong in the reason why you're doing what you're doing. And oftentimes that requires a mindset shift. Because oftentimes that new purpose you have for yourself, and it's so okay to be selfish in this regard, you need more for yourself from your classroom. You're probably going to have to take the fork in the yellow brick road. You might not keep walking with the Tin Man and the Lion and the Dorothy. Okay? You might have to challenge the status quo a little bit. And it might feel uncomfortable. And you might not feel all of a sudden you are not the confident teacher you once were. I mean, so these things go hand in hand. Purpose in your heart and a follow through in your mind. I would suggest to you this is the first step in that transformation, and in the student-centered science teacher society in our community, I have shared this 3-step action plan for turning your science classroom into a learning laboratory. You can download it there. As you can see, it says our first step is to reflect on our current practice, and that's in fact what we're going to be doing in our next talk together. But reflecting includes that purpose determination and the mindset shift, making sure we debunk our doubts. If you're listening to me and you're going, yeah, but, you've got doubts and you need to feel more confident taking risks in your classroom because you got nothing to lose. Some of us have less to lose than others, honestly, because we're just that much at our wit's end. You're going to define your why. What's your purpose? Your purpose. Not your principal's purpose, not your coworker's purpose, not your student's purpose. What's your purpose in this role? So that you can align your new approach, your transformation with that purpose. And then getting real about now, helping you to identify what's great about what you do, what you love, what you would never want to leave behind, and then identify opportunities for change, not necessarily to get better, but just to change, and to begin brainstorming next steps. Again, you can get that in the Science Teacher Society community. Until next time, folks, I hope you do some thinking on this. Next time I see you, we will be reflecting as part of our teacher routine. Thanks for joining me. You can get that 3-step action plan by going to community.labineverylesson.com. And once you create a username and password, you can click on the Teacher's Lounge on the left side menu bar, and then on the bulletin board. It's basically like a social media feed where we post things and you can comment and cheer other people's ideas. But in the featured section, you'll see where you can download that resource, which might be helpful to you if you're a DIY person and you want to just, you know, try to put together a plan on your own. There's a total guide for you there.